us, Lord, to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, sing it again now. Oh Lord, prepare me, yes Lord, oh yes, a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, oh, amen. We want to be that sanctuary tonight. Amen. Let's sing that song, Break Every Chain. Break Every Chain. Amen. Can you get it? Sing. Would you drop it to sing? Amen. There's an army. Sing up. There's an army. Rising up, there's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. And armies rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah. Amen. We welcome each one to the service tonight. Good to see each one tonight. Thankful for this privilege we have together to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Leaving tonight, He has something good for us. Amen. It's just our desire tonight to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's sing the song at Calvary. Amen. Aren't you glad for Calvary tonight? Amen. Where Jesus died for our sins and paid that great sacrifice and that price. Amen. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord would crucify. Brother Josh to come tonight as we take our prayer requests. Again, we welcome each one tonight to the service. Pray that God will just meet with us tonight in a special way. I believe if we come desiring, He will. Amen. Having that desire to meet with Him. We want to remember the Irish family that's away this week. Also, Brother Keith Buchanan's working. We want to remember Brother Keith. We always miss him when he's away. And each one, amen. We want to remember Brother Connie, or Sister Connie, and Brother Troy, not feeling well. We want to remember them tonight. Also, Brother Allen and his family are away, so we want to remember them in prayer. And I believe Jackie Whitlock is sick. We want to remember her tonight. Also, we want to remember Brother Biscoe. I believe he went in for surgery today. And so we just pray that all went well there and for a speedy recovery. Amen. Maybe you have an unspoken request tonight with an uplifted hand. God knows every heart and every need tonight. Brother Barry also said he wasn't feeling well tonight. He's here. So we want to remember our pastor tonight. God would give him a special touch also. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for all the love and mercy you show us every day, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings, Lord, you give us every day. But Lord, sometimes we just need to lean on you a little more, Father, and bring us closer to you. Lord, there's some that are battling some sicknesses, Lord, today, Father. Some are going into surgery, Father. Some are at home battling with sickness, Father. I pray, Father, you go to them tonight, Father, and just give them a touch from you, Lord. Lord, I pray you just continue to bless the remainder of the service, Lord. May the worship be wonderful, Lord, upon your ears. I pray, God, you just be with Brother Barry, Lord, and give him a special touch tonight, Father, and may the words just touch our hearts. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for every night, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Shake hands if you're being seated. We'll sing that song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of out your power and love, we sing holy, 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 I want to see you, I want to see you, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. My heart, I want to see you. Yes, Lord. Lord, we want to see you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. The eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 yes, holy, 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 I want to see you, I want. Somebody wants to see him tonight. Amen. How do we see him? Through his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song, The Unclouded Day. Give him. Glad there's coming an unclouded day. No disappointments. No things that cloud up our day. Amen. Be a time of perfect peace. Amen. Let's sing it to him tonight. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where those cold clouds cry. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where shall be all. Where he sits on the throne, that is whiter than snow. In the city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. Oh, they tell me along where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. Be that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Cloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of home where no storm clouds cry. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Give him another good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just before we receive the offering tonight, I have a couple of announcements to make. It says the youth event for Saturday the 24th has been canceled from Brother Keith and Sister Sarah Buchanan. So remember that the youth event has been canceled. Also, I have an announcement here. It says Pastor Josh Bennett and the Congregation of Apostolic Tabernacle invite you to join us. This says Wednesday, but you can't go on Wednesday. Go tomorrow night. June the 21st, which would be today, but it goes through Sunday, and you can't go on Sunday because you got to be here. So you go tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. Okay? All right. Services will start, will be held at the Maiden Wesleyan Church, 1125 Ivy Church Road in Maiden. And so I'll put this back in the library so you can get that address. The services will be each night, well, actually Thursday and Friday at 7 p.m. Saturday night will be 6 p.m. So remember that if you'd like to go. Guest speakers will be Brother Darrell Ward, Brother Andrew Glover, Brother Timothy Pruitt, and Brother Wayne Lawson. So, I know they had some really good meetings last year, and it'll be in a different place this year. It'll be down in Maiden at the Maiden Wesleyan Church, 1125 Ivy Church Road. So, if you need any more information, the phone number is on this announcement sheet. So, let's just stand tonight as we worship the Lord in our giving. Let's sing that song, The Great Emancipator. Brother Tom, if you would pray over the offering tonight. Thank you.
wonderful thing to be redeemed and to know it. Realize it's without money and without price. It's a glorious thing, really. If He never did another thing for us, it would be a glorious thing. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks tonight for this opportunity we have to gather in Your name, in Your house, with Your people, the purchase of the blood of Christ. How blessed we are, Lord, to come aside from the things of the world and Lord, to be called. Be called because we are elected. To be elected because we are foreknown of You. And Lord Jesus, nothing can change that. No matter what happens to us in life, nothing can change Your origin. Nothing can change Your destiny. We thank You for that, Lord. Have Your way, we pray now. Take control of this service. Because, Lord, we don't know the future. We don't know where we're going, really, from here. We have plans, but, Lord, we know that You have a plan as well. Your ways are higher than our ways. Have Your way, we pray. Commit this time in Your hands, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And amen. Have Your way. Let's sing it one more time. Steve, come here. Have Your way. Proverbs, and we'll have you look there before we take our seats tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to read four verses here tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We're going to title this tonight, Guard Your Heart, Number 2. Or, What We Didn't Get to Say in Part Number 1. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is a pure life formula. It's a formula for the pure life. It's the way we could summarize this. So he says, number one, keep your heart with all diligence. Number two, put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Number three, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established, and turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So keep your heart, put away a forward mouth, let your eyes look straight on, ponder the path of your feet. God bless you this evening. You may be seated. Let me give you a few announcements here this morning. This evening. Number one. Brother Jeff Jackson's great aunt passed away this past week, a couple of days ago, right? She was 95 years old. That's a great milestone. That's a great long life. And there's only two patriarchs left now, I guess, in the Jackson family, right? And we're sorry for your loss, Brother Jeff, but that's a long life. Great to have Brother Mark's mother here, Sister Sylvester. God bless you. Good to have you this evening with us here and down visiting for the wedding. And good to have Mark and Jackie here this evening as well. Brother Zephaniah Peters in Tanzania was in an accident. He was walking along the side of the road, and he was not supposed to be walking on that part of the road, and a car pushed him and knocked him unconscious. He was unconscious for 24 hours. He's out of hospital. He's back home, and he's not doing very well. He's very weak, but he had no broken bones or anything like that, so we're thankful for that. Brother Zephaniah is just having trouble with orientation, and he was walking. He knew he had to go home back to Arusha, which would be about, if you walk that distance, it would probably take about 8 days. So he thought he could walk it. And so if you're reading between the lines. We have some updates on the Ark Encounter that we're going to be going on, Lord willing, July 14th and 15th. Everything is a go. We have signed the contract for the bus. So the bus will be here at noon. I'm looking forward to it. I've been self-appointed as the worship leader for the bus. I'm going to sing choruses all the way there and back. Not really. But we are good to go. Here's what you need to do. We're going to have a new information sheet. Sister Sarah promises me we're going to have a new information sheet in the library at the end of service, and there will be a sign-up sheet for you if you're interested in going, if your family's interested in going. Everyone needs to be registered, even if you're a babe in arms, because they have to have a record of everyone's name who's going, even though they don't pay for the little ones. But there is a need for everybody to be registered. So if you have five in your family, make sure you put five down on the sheet there for going. The prices are all there on the information sheet. And the crunch, we're not asking you to pay for the tickets yet, for the admission tickets. We're not doing that quite yet, because we want to get closer to it. Those tickets are non-refundable. So we're going to wait, and they've allowed us to wait until last minute to be able to purchase our tickets for exactly the number who will go, because we can't get that money back. Here's the crunch. The crunch is that in that area, which is North Kentucky, South Cincinnati, in that area, it's a really, really busy time, that time of the month, that time of the summer. It's kind of in the middle of summer, and lots of people are out traveling and moving around. So we are going to try to, we have a block of hotel rooms that will be about $130, and there are no options. So we can't say, well, look, here's a list of seven or eight hotels. We don't have any options. Only one night. And if your family's interested in going, there's a little slot on the sheet there, the sign-up sheet, for you to indicate, do you want a hotel room? You're certainly welcome to do your own if you want to, or meet us there. You can meet us there at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, because nothing's going to happen with the Ark until 9 o'clock Saturday morning. And then we go wild at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. But you're certainly welcome to make your own arrangements. You're welcome to drive. You don't have to take the bus, although if I were you, I would take the bus. But anyway, you're certainly welcome to make those decisions, but we're going to ask you to make them quickly, because we don't want to lose this block of hotel rooms that we have. The alternatives for the hotels are not very good, so we want to try to grab the hotel that we have and make that happen. And the way we're going to do the hotels now, so just so that you're clear, for people in our church, I'm going to pay for all those hotels myself, and then if you want to budget that and pay me back, you're certainly welcome to do that. Okay, so you don't need to worry about coming up with funds for the hotel while you're there. You're going to have the admission fee, and that'll be paid before we leave here. But if you want to budget that out for August or September, that's certainly fine to do that. I think it'll be a good investment. I certainly think you'd enjoy going. And there's no age restrictions, okay? The seasoned as well as the juniors, they're all able to go. So we just want you to pray about that, but we're going to ask you to pray quickly, okay? Pray fast. And let us know, because we need to do this, or we're going to lose that block, and I don't want to lose that block of room so we have enough for families, okay? So please, if you don't mind, let me know. The last thing I want to ask you to remember, I have a friend, name is Ron Yeske, and I mentioned to him to you before. He is the brother of Brian Yeske, Brian and Patty, who were coming here for a little while, and they're in Tennessee right now. And Ron was a trustee in my church in Logan, Ohio for 16 years. Very good brother, comes from a very good family, just a couple of years older than me, and they've called in hospice care for him now, because he has colon cancer, and they've tried everything, and it's spread throughout his body. I talked to him today by phone. He's just really weak, and he advised me. He said, if you want to come and see him while he's still alive on this side of eternity, he said, They said you ought to come, so I'm going to try to zip up there sometime between now and perhaps Monday or Tuesday, so I'm not really sure. But if you don't mind, remember him in prayer and his wife, Kay. They're very good folks, been serving the Lord many, many years, and just a very sad thing for Brother Ron, for sure. Known him a long, long time. So we'd ask you to remember that need, if you don't mind. Now, let's do this subject tonight. Guarding Your Heart, Part 2. Let's deal with the part that we didn't deal with last Wednesday night, two Wednesday nights ago, if we were here. Now, in this subject here, and what I'm going to do is just give you a little bit of a refresher so we can come back to this tonight. This is not confined to just young people. It's not confined to girls. This is a lesson that a lot of us either need to be reminded of or something that we need to learn and kind of get in our heart, because it's very important. I was going to say it's good to have the Stevenses here. God bless you. Is this a honeymoon trip for you? Okay. And good to have the Whitlocks come. I appreciate you coming and all the folks from over and Shingle and all the different places you've come from tonight. I appreciate you making the effort to come out on Wednesday night. That speaks a lot of your dedication, your confidence, and we appreciate that very much. So what we want to do is look at this subject because it's a very important one, and it is in the Scripture, in this block of text, in the first eight chapters of the book of Proverbs, wherein Solomon is very strong, very adamant in giving advice to his children. In reading between the lines, if you like, Solomon has gone through a lot over his years, and now he's wanting to pass on wisdom and understanding to his children and his family. We know we can't pass on revelation. We can't give anybody a revelation, but we can pass on hints about navigating the path along the journey that we're called to walk on. And it is good for an older generation to be an influence to the younger generation coming on. And that's important for us to do. And so right in the middle of this eight chapters here, we find it hinges on this little passage here where Solomon gives advice here for life. And there's a caution in chapter 4. And he talks about, going in the way of wicked men and wicked women and so forth and strange women. He describes them here in detail. And we've talked about that. So his advice is to guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Lots of things happen that come out of your heart. And so, therefore, we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How many have proven that to be true? I have proven that to be true. I know that that is true. And you will if you serve him long enough and walk with him. We also talked last time about strongholds and how that Satan would, if he could, try to gain a foothold in your life, in your spirit. He cannot take away eternal life. Neither can somebody give you eternal life. That's a part of God, right? So Satan cannot take away eternal life, but he can make your life miserable. And there are temptations all around us. And the way of a transgressor is hard. Because some people who were never meant to walk away have walked away. And God's used various means to bring them back into the fold again. And we are thankful that God never lets go of his own. Aren't you glad for that? My goodness, you think about where you would be tonight if God, actually let some slip through his fingers. That'd be a daunting feeling, wouldn't it? Good to have the Knoblauchs back tonight after the weekend. And so, therefore, Paul tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When Satan begins to set up a stronghold in our life, we need to be active and aggressive. We need to be proactive in pulling down that stronghold and be ready to revenge all disobedience in our life and to make those things right. Brother Branham made this statement one time when he was talking to young people, and he said, what you need to do, he said, is make it easy to live right and make it hard to live wrong. Make it easy to live right and hard to live wrong. I thought it was a great piece of advice. So when it comes to defending ourselves, he said, Paul says over in the New Testament here, and this is not just Old Testament things, but in New Testament, he said, stand therefore having your loins girded about with the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate goes right here. It's another guard of your heart, isn't it? The righteousness of God, he said, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to hold a shield of faith in front of us, and your feet shall be the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul viewed the Christian soldier as somebody who was fully armed and prepared for battle, but guarding the most important parts. And so when you look at a soldier who fights in battle, or you look at policemen, and they've got that body armor on, they've got it around the midsection because those are the vital organs. You don't want to get hit with a bullet. You can survive a shot in the arm or a shot in the leg or something like that. I mean, it wouldn't be pleasant, but you can survive that. But a bullet through the heart, that's a little bit different. You're going to have a little bit of trouble rebounding from a bullet through the heart. So that's why they wear that body armor like they do. Terribly uncomfortable and terribly warm, especially in times like this. But that's the part that God tells us to guard as well. And have on the breastplate of righteousness because you're going to need it. Then also, too, in this same subject of strongholds here, Paul tells us there that we need to be strong. We need to develop strength. It's amazing in the natural how quickly you can lose strength. In the natural. How quickly you can atrophy. Sister Sheba will probably be able to tell you down there after a while. I remember going through the same surgery some of you have as well. And when you go through a period of time where you're recuperating and you don't use those muscles and you're not very active at all, things just become a bunch of mush, right? You're just a bunch of flab. And it takes a while to get it back up again. And no matter how much progress you make, when you become sedentary and you're not active at all, you know, you just wind up back in a bunch of mush again. That's what happens to us, right? In this life. And so I believe the same thing is true in the spiritual, that if we don't exercise ourselves unto godliness, we become a bunch of spiritual mush. And a bunch of spiritual mush is pretty easy to push over. You don't want to have that. You don't want to be that way. You want to be an opponent to our enemy. You want to be somebody that he just doesn't want to mess with. And if he pushes you, you want to be able to push back at him. So this idea of the word strong, it means the quality or state of being physically strong and the ability to resist being moved or broken by a force. There are forces at work loosed in our world that are just, you know, in many ways, it's not like any other age. All other ages have had troubles. All other ages have had trials. As we said on Sunday, all other ages have gone through dark periods and valleys and everything else. But in this last age, Brother Branham described how everything would be heaped up. So the sin of the first age would also wind up in the second age. And the sin of the third age would be a combination of age 1, 2, and 3 all combined together. So we live in the last day where everything is heaped up. And Brother Branham says, you just watch that wave of sin come on the earth. And he said, it'll go plumb to the core. In other words, you know, sometimes you just shake your head and you wonder, my goodness, how could it get any worse? And then it does. It does with great passion. It gets worse. And, you know, I often think about, and I often pray for you parents that are in this church in raising children today and grandchildren and trying to influence them for the kingdom of God. Let me assure you this. You need to probably be even more aggressive than what you are. And rather than focus on other things like, you know, sports and talents and gifts, which is all right. It's all right. You know, I mean, we recreate and that's all right. But I will tell you something. They're not getting spiritual instruction anywhere else outside of what they get here and what they get in your household. And you need to be aggressive. And we probably need to be more aggressive as well. And I think those are good investments because there are forces out there. And to be strong means you're going to be able to resist them so that you're not broken by those forces that are out there. They are there. Many of them are invisible. And the third part is, to me, a great lesson is the quality that allows someone to deal with problems in a determined and an effective way. The quality that allows someone to deal with problems in a determined and an effective way. In other words, the solutions that we put in place and the solutions that God has put in place, we should articulate them. We should voice them. We should teach them. We should show them. Are we okay? It's not, to me, the message is not just doctrine. It's not just seals. It's not just trumpets and vials. It's not just, the mysteries that are found in the book. I love the mysteries of the book. But let me tell you, we are called to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. And this is not a young people's gospel, and it's not a family gospel, and it's not just a doctrinal gospel. It's an everything gospel for every member of the body of Christ. And it, to me, it's got everything that we have need of for the journey to get us right to the other side. And I think we should articulate that. I think we should say that. I think we should teach that. Somebody commended me for a little while ago for teaching on matters of the heart here in this church and left because they had struggles in their own heart. And I thought, that's a bit of a paradox. It would be great for them if they have struggles in their own hearts to stay so that the Holy Spirit could minister to their hearts, because that's the kind of ministry we've got. I didn't create that in myself. I didn't develop that in myself. I went to no school to learn that. That's just the way God deals with me, because of you. Brother Bram said, God fits a man to preach to a group of people. And a lot of people say that I'm different. So, sorry. I think the solutions that are available to us are applicable. I believe they are effective. I believe they work. And I believe we should employ them. I think we should teach them. I think we should teach our children the things that we know work, the things that you've found success with in your own life, and to be able to employ them in their lives as well, and to be able to encourage them, encourage things that build character in our lives. Because we're at a point where we're going to be leaving here because we're at the end, and the only thing we're taking with us is our character. So character is an issue. Character is an important thing. If you're young, you need to learn it. If you're old, you need to demonstrate it. Is that all right? All of us are called on the carpet here for this. Now, so we asked this question last week. Do people make mistakes that are Holy Ghost filled? Brother Bam said, oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Holy Ghost filled person, you're right in the place then to be drove by those things. You're a target, because Satan would do anything he possibly could to destroy you, to sift you like wheat, to destroy your family, to undermine your children's minds, to do whatever he possibly can to cause you to be discouraged and turn back. Every temptation, everything that could be thrown at you, then you've got it. But what have you got? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Thank God for that. Say it with me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's what we've got. So if that's true, then you know what? We're an overcomer right out the gate. Right? We're an overcomer right out the gate. So, and again, I'm still reviewing here. You'll recognize some of these from last time. That whenever a good enemy fights against us, he's going to attack always at the weakest link. And Paul, therefore, tells Timothy to tell the people and to tell those who are coming behind him that there are certain things that the youth need to avoid, and certain things that, you know, an aged woman needs to do and an aged brother needs to do, and how the church should be set in order. Paul left lots of good practical instructions that help us to effectively employ solutions for the problems we face. And he says to flee youthful lust. You're a fool if you stick around and fertilize lust. You remember when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. You remember what he did? He got out of there. It cost him all those years in the jail, but you know what? He never got out of God's will. And so Paul doesn't tell Timothy, teach the people to deal with certain things, tell them to deal with pornography. He doesn't do that. He says, flee it. Get away from it. Because the eye, you look at the bottom scripture there, that the eye is never satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You'll never hear enough of Christian rock in order to satisfy and say, okay, that's great, got it. Yep, don't need to hear any more. That's an oxymoron, by the way. Christian rap, Christian rock, all of that stuff. So he tells us to flee youthful lust, but follow this. So flee that, follow this. Our gospel is not a gospel of avoidance. It's not just, you know, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do something else. But we are to pursue certain things. And we are to develop, as Solomon tells us right here, that we're going to keep our heart and we're going to let our eyes look right on, and we're going to ponder the path of our feet, and we're going to put away a forward mouth. And there's certain things that we're going to discipline in our life, because even with the Holy Ghost, we need to be sure that we're surrendering to him and letting him work in our lives. And you're the one that's got to give him that sway in your life, right? You're the one that's got to give him a sway in your life, because youthful lusts exist and they will come after you. Youthful lusts take lots of different forms. We'll deal a little bit with that as we move along here. In the message, Hear Ye Him, 1958, Brother Bram said, and every time you read the scripture, you learn something new, because it is the word of the eternal God. And it does something to you. It brings you in closer fellowship with God. The soul of a man lives on God's word. To me, that's a great place for any individual or any family to start. And if you fathers are reluctant to, you know, in terms of family devotions, all you really need to do is get a passage of Scripture, read it, have a word of prayer, and ask your kids what they thought of it. That's a great place to start. It really doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. A lot of times we think, well, I got to have a ministry, and I got to have a pulpit, and I got to wear a tie. No, you really don't at all. You just really need to read a passage of Scripture that means something to you. Ask your kids what they think about that. What did you learn from that? What do you think of that? Think that's right? You know, what do you think of so-and-so and what he did there? And then have a word of prayer. It really doesn't need to be more complicated than that. But those kinds of things build faith. They influence young people to think the right way. And so Brother Branham says when you do that, he said it brings you in closer fellowship with God. The soul of a man lives on God's word. So kids pick up that, hey, Dad looks at this as important enough to read this every night. So therefore, it must be something worth reading in this book every day. And they learn from that. That's what we call influence, the right kind of influence. It strengthens him, the inner man. And it makes us feel good to know that our souls can feed upon the good things that God has written to us. It's his letter to his church. And it's so inspiring as we read. It does something to us that nothing else does. It does something to us that nothing else does. Are you ready to turn a corner? All right, let's say what we didn't say last week. All right? Let's begin. And say, in the message, Possessing All Things in 1962, Brother Branham talks about separation. He uses this example many, many times. And he talks about Lot and Abraham and how they came to this place where there was strife between them, and so therefore there had to be a separation. Separation is very much part of our experience. And we always need to be teaching the generation that is forthcoming about separation and holiness. We need to teach our kids about that and what it really means. And certainly to do it without a spirit of legalism, right? We want our kids' heart to be right. We want them to want to be right. That's what we want. We don't want them to just be doing this because Mom told me and Dad said I'd get a licking if I didn't. We want them to want to do it. We want them to fall in love with the Word and do it, because there's going to come a point in time where they got to have the inner witness so that they'll do it even without you there, without the pastor there, and without all the other young people around. We want them to develop their own relationship with Christ so that they can have the Holy Spirit dealing with their heart. That's what you want to have. They take off the cloak of their parents' faith and they put on their own, as we've demonstrated many times. So one day, Abraham, he was looking out at things and he said he had it kind of rough and Lot was having it kind of easy, waiting in sin. Lot's down in Sodom having a ball. His wife is at the mall every day. How easy it is and how pleasing sin looks to be and how innocent it looks to be. Now, if Lot says this, as long as I believe in God, so why can't I go down here in Sodom? Be all right. But it wasn't all right. Because you know why? They're looking at things short term. Lot was looking at things short term. This is great now. This is what my family wants now. And this feels good now. And he failed to look at whether this was God's will or not. Because if it's God's will, God's not going to lead you into a place where it's eventually going to be destroyed. He's going to lead you out into a place of safety and separation like he did for Abraham, right? But here's the paradox. Here's the paradox. You got to be ready for this. Because where Abraham was rough. And where Sodom was, and Lot in Sodom, it was great. I mean, all the conveniences were there, right? All of the attributes of Satan's Eden were there. But you remember now, there was a sexual spirit on the place, a lustful, perverted, immoral spirit that was on the place. And Lot looked over that and looked at Sodom with his family and said, hey, that's the place for me. So in looking at the easy place, you have to sometimes turn a blind eye to what it is that, you know, is the reality of a situation. May God help us not to look at things the way we just want to do it and, you know, argue for something just because of the points we know we want to present. You ever had your kids argue something and they try to present something and, Dad, this is great because, you know, this and this and this. And how about that? No, that has nothing to do with it. Think about this and this and this. All the time. Hey, I still do that. I still deal with the boys with that. Anyway, let's go on. See, God, when he called Abraham, he called him to separate himself from everything. And that's what we have to do. God calls us to total separation from sin. Wow. You got to think about this now, because he said he called him to separate himself from everything. Everything that was related to Sodom, everything that was related to the world and worldliness, or we'd say it this way, everything that was contrary to God's word, that's what Abraham would have been called to separate from, right? He would have had to put a distance between himself and the things of this world. Then he says that's what we have to do. Abraham was successful in doing it. Lot was not. Lot paid the price. So specifically, how does a girl or a boy guard their heart when it comes to relationships and dealings between boys and girls? Got everybody's attention? This is the question we didn't deal with last week, and I got questions right away going home up the road, and I knew we were going to get to this. I knew we were going to come to this. How do a girl or a boy, at the age where girls and boys notice one another, how do they deal with guarding their heart and still have feelings that boys and girls have? Isn't it true that God made us the way we are? You ought to be thankful that you have feelings. And I might say, forgive me for dropping this in, but you should be thankful that you have feelings for the opposite gender in our world today. Sorry to say that. But here's what Brother Branham says then, and we got to deal with this question on both ends of the spectrum. Brother Branham says, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by sight, or we don't go by feelings. Whoa. When you're in a situation like this, there ain't nothing but feelings. Right? You know, you got sparks going off. You got your father. He's blowing a gasket over there. Your mother is trying to figure out whether this is, you know, is good. And, you know, I mean, everybody in the house is affected when this goes on, right? Some fathers have asked me the question, how do you deal with this? And I tell them, hey, 12-gauge. 12-gauge is probably the most efficient solution to this whole problem. I tried everything. I tried everything outside of the 12-gauge. I tried everything, you know, to bribe and bait the boys and do whatever I could to influence them, to pull them back from that time. But let me tell you, God has made us a certain way. We have feelings. The reason you're married is because you had feelings. Or your mother set this up. And here's Brother Branham comes along and says, we don't walk by sight and we don't go by feelings. We go by God's word. And no matter what the outside looks like, we believe it. So we're not a people who just run after the thing that looks good. Now keep in mind what the quote that I gave you about Abraham, Lot, and Sodom. Lot looked at Sodom and thought, wow, that looks great. I'm there. It's on. I'm going. And brought his family there because it looked good. What did it end up producing? But death. So Abraham's looking at this now. He's looking at it as it really is. He's trying to catch the mind of God here. And where should I be? He gives a choice to Lot. And you got to wonder what would happen if Lot said, hey, I'm going to stay up here and commune with Jehovah. I mean, you kind of got to wonder, right? It didn't happen. But you wonder then what Abraham would have picked. But Abraham was a man of God and he was a prophet, so therefore we know he probably would have picked the right thing, right? Are we okay? So therefore, Brother Branham tells us now we got to be careful that we don't go by feelings, because when it comes to this stuff, it's all feelings. And we need to have our heart right. So when somebody enters into this time, now forgive me for using the old pictures and the old drawings here. There's a reason for it. So I can't use modern ones. You realize what I got to filter? We get the modern ones. So the easier ones are older, right? They had more clothes on. And they looked more decent back then. And you get the idea, right? You know, all you Pride and Prejudice people. John, you shouldn't have laughed so loud at that point there, buddy. But you know what I'm saying? You know, we kind of get the idea. And back then, there was a propriety about relationships back then. You know, a man who came into a house in a parlor to meet this girl, he didn't just blow past the father by using his phone. He didn't blow past the father just by using the phone and reach in over the top of the whole family and get a hold of this girl's attention over here and start dealing with her and start pulling her into something, even without the parents' knowledge or consent. And yes, I am old-fashioned. I believe it's all right to get a family involved in this process. It's all right. Now, boy and a girl had to make a decision, and you should not be making that decision for them. But let me tell you something. It is important for them to have good counsel because there's all kinds of feelings associated with this. This is all about feelings. Now, the idea is, or the goal is that we want to make sure that we ourselves, every one of us, live out of that third realm. There's an outer realm with the senses of the flesh, and then an inner realm which has the senses of the spirit, the thought and memory and reason and affection and so forth. And then there's that inner realm, the inside of the inside, where we live by faith. And that's where we want to live out of, right? So, in other words, when I made a choice about whether I was going to ask Sister Becky to marry me, it was not just, man, she's a nice-looking girl. Oh, man, and she plays the piano? Whoa. Did that for Lucas. Let me tell you something. I realized there was more to it than that. And I wanted to make sure, I wanted to try to identify, without knowing the future, I wanted to try to identify whether this girl is a girl of character, whether she's a believer or not. That's a tough task. But really, that's what you want to do, because the Bible clearly tells us we don't want to marry an unbeliever. Especially a real good-looking unbeliever who's playing the piano in a believing church. You got to exercise excellent discernment and try to figure out, beyond the level of looks and beyond the level of talent and gifts, beyond the level of personality, you got to look at that person and begin to quantify, justify whether that person's really got an experience or not. And you know what? If you're 17 or 18 years old, 19 years old, or 20 years old, you're probably not going to be a lot. You're not going to have a lot of experience in looking at a young man or a young woman and saying, yeah, boy, they really got the goods. Because you know what? A lot of young people can really text well, and they can email well, and they can selfie well. It means nothing. Right? You okay over there? So therefore, we had to be on guard. And this is what Solomon is telling us here. You had to be on guard on what you are. You had to be on guard on what you say. You had to be on guard on what you see. And you got to be on guard on where you go. And when you do that, you guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Again, you got to be, you want to be on guard in what you are. You're a believer first. You're a Christian first. Right? I'm a child of God first. And sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Right? Daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's what I am first. And you've got to be confident in that ability and your own identity in terms of who you are. Number two, in what you say, because you don't want to lead this boy on while you're leading on 10 other boys. Should I not have said that? You also had to be careful and be on guard in what you see. And this is very important for guys, because guys can look at a girl. And a girl at, you know, 18, 20, 22 years old, she can, my goodness, you know, you know what I'm going to say. Number four, you had to be careful of where you go. You had to be careful of where your feet take you. Girls have a tough time understanding number three. Guys know full well what number three means. Girls sometimes, you know, when, like I said before, when girls look at themselves in the mirror, all they see is flaws. They see a lot of them, right? Nobody's going to say amen to that. But that's true. A lot of girls look at themselves and all they see is the inadequacies that they think they have. This doesn't make me look great. Does this make me look fat? Does this make me look skinny? Does this make me look too tall? These shoes no good. This doesn't match that, and so forth. And, you know, most girls can blow a compliment right out of the air before it lands on them at all. They're real good at that. Guys don't think that way at all. Guys look at a girl, and they're like, "Whoa! I don't need a whole lot of explanation here. I don't need a book that comes with this, because men are visual creatures, right? They're visual creatures, and so we are stimulated by, we are enlivened by what we see. So it's very important that all of us, guys and girls, we're careful about what we are, and careful of what we say, careful in what we see, and careful in where you go." Feelings, therefore, which we're not supposed to be guided by, are an emotional state or a reaction to something. Somebody says they have a feeling of joy. If I gave everybody here a check at the end of church and walked out, and you got your information sheet about the ARC trip, and you got a check for $50, you'd all be, whoa, feeling of joy, yaha. Right? You'd all go. Let me give you an example of a feeling of joy. A while ago, we were leaving here, Lucas and I, as is our custom, and go to Chick-fil-A, because that's Lucas's custom, not mine, but it's his. And so we were leaving, and we're going to Chick-fil-A, and we look over in the dual drive-thru, and there's two sisters from our church right there. And so, you know, we waved, and we pull out, get in line, and when we got up to the window, I said to the lady there, I said, hey, if you don't mind, take care of the folks behind me. I got to the window first. I said, take care of the folks behind me, if you don't mind, and added on to our bill. And she said, all right, it'll be $42. And I said, whoa. What do Haley and Grace eat? My goodness. And I'm, whoa. I have $42? And I knew what ours was. It was about $15 or something like that, right? So I'm, well, I said I was going to do it, so I might as well do it. I'll just mortgage the house when I get home. But, okay, all right. So, you know, here's the card, here's another card. There's not enough room in that one, here's another card. So I get out, and we come down, and ours wasn't completely ready, so I come down, and we had to park in the slot, right? And when I come down, this guy comes up to the window. Big guy comes up. He's knocking on the window. Hey, buddy. So I roll down my window. He says, did you pay for our meal? Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate that. There's a whole carload full of guys over here, teenagers, right? Five or six of them in there. Thanks a lot. And they're all waving at me. Thanks, buddy. Hey, you know, God bless you. You're all right, buddy. That's what we call a feeling of joy. Feelings of joy. Those guys are going out the parking lot. Yeah, you know. Haley and Grace just going home like every other night. $42. But hey, that's what a feeling of joy is. Your feelings also come from a belief, whether it's irrational or not. Someone would say, well, you know, you had the feeling he's being watched. Some of you folks, even as adults, still run up the basement stairs because you're afraid somebody's chasing you. You didn't think I'd say that, but that's true. That's absolutely true. You're afraid there's somebody down there. We had our grandkids with us last week, and they wouldn't go upstairs. If we were downstairs, they wouldn't go upstairs. Nobody upstairs, no doors, right? They wouldn't go upstairs. So Sister Becky wound up giving them a Bible. Take the Bible and go upstairs and go up this way. Completely irrational. This is nobody up there. Isn't it also irrational for a 16-year-old girl to say, when some guy rolls along, comes into church to visit, and goes, boom. You know what? That's irrational. To me, even if you live in Arkansas, that's irrational. Brother Bram said, the only thing you have to do is not think about your senses and how you feel. Because feelings will deceive you, right? Feelings can be irrational. And you don't want to, we're not in this by feelings. We don't stay in this by feelings. Right? We're not saved by feelings. I feel like I'm in. That's not it. We've got to have something more solid than that, right? Just believe what he said. For the scriptures cannot be broken. And whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. Present tense. And it will be given to you. Future tense. Mark 11:24. Now to me, you boys ought to write this down. Mark 11:12. Whatsoever things you desire. If you desire to have a real godly husband, if you desire to have a real godly wife, and to raise a family and children and so forth, you desire to have that, you ought to write down Mark 11:24 and pray on that basis. And say, Lord, I believe that's your will. I believe that's your will for every young man to find a good young woman, a believing young woman, and We have boundaries. You've given us boundaries. But Lord, we don't want to ask something outside of your will. We want to ask what it is that is according to your will. And Lord, you promised that when we asked according to your will, we would believe that and then we would receive that. But God is not obligated to give you that tomorrow, because there might be a few things he needs to tone up before you go down the aisle if you're 16. There might be a few things he needs to adjust. And so remember now, we are to be separated from the world. Brother Bram said everything in the world. So we're not going to take our model or our example of how they do relationships out there. Because how they do relationships is very loose. It's very immoral, for the most part. Not everybody. But it can be very immoral, very loose, right? And it can be without any boundaries at all. And there are consequences for that, grave consequences for that. And I think we need to teach our children better. We need to teach our young people better. That it's right for you to ask things according to God's will and ask them in confidence, whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that that God hears your prayer and God's going to answer those things. And it'll be given unto you, future tense. So if you want, you're writing this down, put in the present tense and future tense thing too, because God's not obligated to say, whoa, what did he say? Let me go down right now. Let me get that for him right now. God is not your errand boy, and God knows the will of God for your life. He knows your future, right? Somebody say amen. And he knows exactly when and how and where and who and all the other factors that go into this. So when you tell a group of young people that they got to exercise patience, you might as well go on to the next slide. Painted face Jezebel. Brother Bam said she, Jezebel, made herself a little butterfly. A butterfly is like somebody who has wings here and flaps. So when they flap their eyelids, they flap. That's what he's describing. And so Jezebel knew how to put it on to make it nice. Ahab, this young Jewish boy, she put manicure on her eyes and she flapped them back and forth. And Ahab's heart went tumbling because he didn't have God in there to teach him better. Good quote. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in there, and let me tell you something. It's very simple when it comes to the human heart. You want to guard your heart. You make sure your heart's pure. Make sure your heart's right. And make sure it's cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Make sure it's cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And make sure your heart is right. And number two, you want to have your heart filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are the two things that every person needs to have, not just young people, but everybody needs to have. You need to have a pure heart. You need to have your heart right with God. And you need to have your heart filled with the Holy Spirit. And by that, we're talking about Ezekiel 33 there, where God says, I'll take that stony heart out of you and I'll put my spirit in there. Give you a heart of flesh. A heart that's tender. A heart that can be moved. A heart that can feel conviction. A heart that can repent when it does something wrong. Right? Back in the days when Sir Walter Raleigh lived under the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, which is way back there. Walter Raleigh was a fearless adventurer. He went and did lots of things in lots of different parts of the world. And he was a great servant to Queen Elizabeth I. And she loved him. She admired him. And he did great things. He conquered many lands for her. She was a favorite of his. However, when she moved on, her successor came in, who happened to be James I. And James I had no time for Walter Raleigh. He looked at him as an interference. He looked at him as a threat. And so therefore, he found a way, James I, he found a way to execute Sir Walter Raleigh. And the way that they executed people back then was to put their head on the chopping block and go for it. Well, Walter Raleigh was a very popular person. And there's a point to this, all right? So hang on. Walter Raleigh was a very popular person, and a lot of people didn't want to see him killed because he had explored so much and conquered many lands and brought back great treasure for the nation and so forth, and he was a person who was beloved by many, including the executioner. And the executioner, he was quite upset that he had to carry this out to take the head off Walter Raleigh. And so the only thing he could do was, when Walter Raleigh laid his head down on the chopping block, he instructed him how to position his head so this was going to be painless and quick. Sir Walter Raleigh apparently turned to the executioner and he said, "Sir, it matters little whether or not the head is right, as long as your heart's right." As long as your heart's right. That's what matters. Ahab's heart went tumbling because he didn't have God in there to teach him better. And when she began to flirt with Ahab, Ahab married her. He thought, "Wow, this is just the one for me. That's just the one for me." And you know what he's doing? He's looking at the outer realm entirely. He's a king of Israel. He knows better than to marry somebody outside of the economy of Israel. Same quote. And many a man's made a mistake like that. And many a man has done it. You ought to see her on wash day when she gets cleaned up. Really might change your mind altogether. Women shouldn't be married by looks anyhow, but by character. Is that all right? So therefore, I think it's great for young people. I think it's great for boys and girls, the young people in the church here. If we encouraged, if we promoted relationships at a young age among the young people here, you know what? You'd have all kinds of jealous fits among young people. Squabbling. "I like them first. No, I like them. I like them first. You. If you get his email address, I'll erase your phone." And a lot of that stuff goes on when it's handled or encouraged by kids who are too young. I think it's great to travel in packs like wolves or schools like fish, where there's a lot. And they can go do things together, boys and girls. And they can observe one another, and they can get to know one another as friends, but that's about it. Until a time later when they realize, whoa, there's something a little bit more to this situation up here, but they're more prepared, or they're more in season. Are we okay? Just got a couple of minutes here, all right? Let me ask a couple of questions for young women here. We can do the same for young men. Are you prepared to be led by a godly husband and care for a future family and serve him, them, the appropriate way? If you're 15, 16, 17 years old, you're not. To be subject to a godly husband and bring forth a family and serve in the appropriate way. Let me tell you, there's a time to grow and mature and begin to learn to make those decisions. Number two, it's incredible to me. It is absolutely incredible when I hear the reasons why girls want to get married. I always kind of knew this, but I never officially confirmed it, and I have just by doing research. There's many girls today that just want to be that princess for a day. They want to be that. The guy, the marriage, is really not that important. I want to be the center of attention, even if it's just for a day. I want to be the princess just for a day. I want to have everybody taking my picture. I want to have everybody looking at me like a princess. And there are lots and lots of girls who get married for that reason. That ain't a good reason. Matter of fact, that's a bad reason. And not only, sir, are you going to be stuck with a great big fat bill because the more of a princess she wants to be, the more that's going to cost. But number two, you're probably going to wind up with a girl home sooner rather than later. You don't want to do that. So therefore, I think it's important for a father to really get involved with his daughters. Get involved with his daughters, like courting them, dating them, taking them out, making sure that they have their father's heart and their father's attention, their father's touch. Because when a father is absent, and he can be right in the house and be absent, that girl has a longing for the right kind of male companionship, and it's a void in her life. And you watch those girls, they'll come earlier and earlier in life wanting to find a man because God made their heart a certain way. God made their heart a certain way. You don't need to say amen. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why, to me, if I was a father, had daughters, and I never did. I have granddaughters, and I'm working my way in best I possibly can, trying to do everything I can to influence them and win their hearts because I want them to be an influence. I want to be an influence on them as much as I possibly can. For the kingdom, number one, and then for life choices, number two. When it comes to matters of the heart, I want them to have the confidence in me that they can come to me and say, Poppy, what about this and what about that? And I tell my oldest all the time, I say, if I come up there and you're talking to boys in the parking lot after church, you're going to have to deal with me. She says, but I do. I said, it's all right just to be friends and throw the ball around or whatever it is that you do up there, but you've got to go through me. You understand what I'm saying? I want to be an influence in their lives because I think it's really critical for fathers, grandfathers, to be involved in the hearts of their daughters. Fathers, don't look at me like, well, Brother Barry, it's your opinion. Don't think that. You need to ask your daughter. You need to ask your wife if your daughter actually thinks that, if she needs that. Because that is essential. It is essential. And I think it's good to start it from an early age. I think it's good to start it from an early age for a father to become involved. And to have that daughter have confidence in her parents and have confidence in her father and have their father be able to put her arm around her and for her to be able to get that closeness, physical closeness with her father in an entirely appropriate way. I think that's very important. Are you okay? And what do your parents and pastor have to say? This, you know what we're talking about here is guarding your heart. Because when you get people involved, you get people on your team, and you get people you trust, and you're not trying to do things in a corner, and you're not trying to do it in the spirit of rebellion, you're going to wind up guarding your heart. When you do things on the sly, when you do things behind your parents' back, when a girl takes, she goes, leaves the house with a dress on, but in her knapsack she's got a pair of pants, and she's going to change them as fast as she possibly can, the first available opportunity. She's not guarding her heart. She's already been influenced. Are we okay? So therefore, you want to bring trusted people on your side. You want to bring your pastor's wife, your pastor, your parents. You want to bring people that you have confidence in and can give you, good advice. You know, when you go to your, when a girl goes to her father, no matter how old she is, she goes to her father and says, "Well, Dad, you know, how about this guy? You know, I've been kind of thinking about this guy." The father's reaction is usually the same, right? That's usually the father's reaction. Now, for me, if you come to me, if your daughter comes to me, I have an unemotional involvement. Okay, I don't have to pay for the wedding. I'm going to be the guy to do the ceremony, but you know what? I'm going to be detached from this emotionally. I'm going to look at this in a much more practical way than a mother and a father would. Look, I know a fellow who was wanting to get married and he wasn't moving fast enough for the mother, and the mother went and bought the ring, gave it to the guy. And said, here, now's time, you know, to go ahead and do it. That's what you call an emotional attachment and involvement. And that guy better move away if he ever marries that girl. Because here's the piece of advice you need to know. If a guy and a girl gets married and they move into their either parent's house, the ideal situation is for them to move into the girl's parents' house, not the boys, because this boy does not need two mothers. It's best that they do it on their own. It's best that they establish their own household for God. Are we okay? It's better that they leave and cleave. That's the scripture. Because this guy does not need two mothers. I'll do the laundry. I know how to iron his pants, so I'll take care of that. Number four, are you clear about the biblical roles of men, women, husbands, and fathers, girls? Is that something that you're clear about? And if that's not something that's clear, like if you're still wanting to play sports and play with animals and have a teddy bear and all the rest of it, you're probably not ready really to make the plunge. How strongly held are your beliefs and involvement in the church, and what contribution do you make? So, in other words, when it comes to spiritual things, what contribution does this girl or boy make? And are they just fixated? I mean, are they only going to church because they hope that some boy will notice them? Or are they there for other reasons? It would be good for them to be there for other reasons and just to be noticed. You're being very quiet. Door to the heart. Brother Branham said you were given five senses. And I've come to this quote because this was what the Holy Spirit spoke to me Sunday night when I was in my office there preparing for the service. And this is the quote that came to mind. But them five senses, your intellectuals, was never given to lead you. So God's given you the senses. God's given you the ability to feel. To feel in love. To feel closeness. To feel, for somebody. God's given you the ability to do that. But that's not the leading of the Holy Spirit just because you feel that way. Right? That's not necessarily God's will because you feel that way. That's not given to lead you. So therefore, even though you have feelings, and this is what a girl has to master and a boy has to master, that even though they have feelings, that may not be God's will. Because God didn't give you your feelings to lead you. My goodness, can you imagine what kind of a mess most of us would be in if we followed our feelings only? And we didn't pray about things and we didn't seek the mind of God. And we just said, well, you know, this looks good right now. You know what you'd be like? You'd be like Lot. You'd be like Lot. Because Lot looked at it and said, right now, that looks great. That looks real good. I think that's, you know what, that's for me. I got it. I'm all over that. Come on, guys, let's go. And he had no sense of what was God's will. He had no long-term vision at all. This is what it was for that time right now, because you know what? This is great. I can do anything down there in Sodom. But those senses were never given you to lead you. The sixth sense, which is faith, is given to lead you. That's the sixth sense. This is that super sense. And it leads you. It leads you. Not your feelings, not your senses. They were never given to lead you. So God gives you them, but he doesn't give you them as the Holy Ghost. He gives them to you as the ability to contact and interact with the world around you. But thank God he gave us something higher, purer, more perfect to lead you. Because something may look great, but not be God's will. You know what? Sometimes it might even be the right person, but the wrong season. And that's important for you to pay attention to. And only going by the sixth sense are you going to really pick that up. That's why. It's an incredible thing to me that God gave such important choices at a young age for young people. They have to exercise maturity and discernment when it comes to this issue, because you are commanded to, by the Scripture, to guard your heart. You're not allowed to throw your heart's door open to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes through, and every Sally Mae that comes through. You're not allowed to do that. I mean, according to the Scripture, you're supposed to guard your heart. So something may look good. This guy might have a great car. I sat behind him, and he smelled like leather. He smelled really good. His car must be really nice. Or I sat in front of this girl. Man, she sang like a lark. Well, that's great. I mean, that means you've got good ears, right? Your senses are working in your ears. But that doesn't mean it's God's will. And laying fleeces, well, if she wears a skirt to church, that must be the one. If she wears her hair back, if she wears her hair forward, it's probably should leave her alone anyway. That's the sixth sense. That's the super sense. That's what's supposed to lead you. Let's stand to our feet. Guard your heart. Breastplate. Shield. Aggressive. Making sure that the enemy doesn't come and sign you up for something that isn't God's will. That's important, right? That's important. It is very practical. It is very important for us, I think, to instill these principles in our young people, right? Well, I'll amen my own self. Amen. Honey, will you amen me? She will. She did. She said amen. I'll tell you what, saints of God, I believe the Word of God is very practical. I believe it's very applicable in our lives. I surely do. I surely do. Let's sing that little chorus of Vessel of Honor. See if you got it on the machine down there. A Vessel of Honor. I am today. All because Jesus, he didn't throw away the clay. I think that's what it is. Let's sing that. A vessel of honor. A vessel of honor I am today. Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me. Yeah, that's it. Molds me into his likeness. He fashions the clay. It's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Sing it again. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor, I am today, and it's all because Jesus, he didn't throw the clay away. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be sanctuary for you. Yes, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you, and I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and the answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Sing it on one more time. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer close your eyes and just sing it to Him tonight. Make it your prayer. Make it your heart's cry tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus, let my life be pleasing unto Thee. Yes, Lord. Let it be pleasing to You when I pray. Let everything I pursue be pleasing, oh, unto You. Lord, I believe You can work with a group of people who made that their prayer. And everything we pursued, everything we set our hand to do, every desire, Lord, would be focused on Your will, be pleasing unto You. Father, give us that kind of a heart, I pray. Give us that kind of a desire, Lord, that everything we do would be pleasing to Thee. May, Lord Jesus, we act on these scriptures that we've heard tonight to guard our heart. And let not a forward word come out of our mouth. Let our eyes look straight on and we ponder the path of our feet, Lord. Because we don't want to run with the rest of this world. We don't want to walk the path thereon. Lord, You've given us a higher ground. And Lord, we want to fulfill Your will in our lives. We don't want to be tarnished. We don't want to be messed up. We don't want to have scars that many of us bear tonight. Because we, perhaps, Lord, didn't listen. Perhaps, Lord, maybe some other influence in our life. Lord Jesus, use us, I pray. Help us, I ask, oh God, that we might just reserve ourselves, Lord, guard the very important things of life. And Lord, You would have us to seek Your mind, Your will on these very important issues. We love You, Lord Jesus. We know that Your ways are higher than our ways, and we don't always know what the future holds, but we do know, Lord, that You hold our future. We are resting in that. Have Your way, I pray now. Every family, Lord, all of our young people that are here, how, Lord, we desire to impress them to live and be zealous in the kingdom of God, to be different because we are called to be separated. Lord Jesus, to look at things in the long term, look at things like Abraham did. Father God, give us that mind, I pray. As we go tonight, we finish out the balance of our week, Lord. May Your hand of protection be upon each one, each family. And bless those who are not here today, Lord. Those who are sick, and those who are needy, those that are working and traveling, Lord, tonight. We commit them into Your care. We love You, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness to us. In Jesus Christ's name.
And have
Yes.
In Jesus' name.